Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, November 23rd. Coming up this hour,
Chinese stocks slump amid signs of renewed trade tensions.
Nissan's alliance with Renault comes into question after the dismissal of Carlos Ghosn.
And it's the biggest shopping day of the year, with forecasts calling for record spending.
President Trump says he has closed Mexican borders and authorized the military to use lethal force. Plus, former FBI Director James Comey says he's been subpoenaed. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, hockey and basketball enjoyed the holidays, so that meant it was time to feast on the NFL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I am John Tucker. Stocks in Europe are climbing. U.S. futures point to a weaker open. Right now, it is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio on this Black Friday. The S&P futures 12 points lower. That's down 0.5%. Dow futures down 131 points, down 0.5%. The NASDAQ futures 38 points lower, down 0.6%. And NYMEX crude and Brent sliding this morning. We'll have more in just a moment, but right now NYMEX crude down 4.6%. That is down $2.53 a barrel to $52.11. Brent, the international benchmark, down $1.92 a barrel. Right now, $60.68 a barrel. 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.04%. Nathan.
John, what was supposed to be a quiet day of trading after Thanksgiving turned south in Asia, with Chinese stocks falling on a report the trade dispute has stepped up a notch. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The CSI 300 closed lower by 2.2%, while the Shenzhen Composite was down 3.7% as tech players in China slid on a Wall Street Journal report that the US is urging its allies to avoid using equipment from Huawei, a company which has been labelled a security risk by American lawmakers. Elsewhere, trading volumes were thin in Asia, with Japan and India's markets closed for public holidays. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Now, let's get more on that Wall Street Journal report focusing on Huawei. Bloomberg's Mark Cranfield has details.
It says that the U.S. government is asking allies around the world not to use equipment from this company. Of course, traders are concerned because when ZTE Corporation was temporarily stopped from using American suppliers earlier this year, it had quite a big bearish effect on Chinese markets. So people are not standing around to find out. They're just selling first.
Huawei is the world's second largest smartphone maker and also makes equipment that runs phone networks.
Meanwhile, President Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping are indicating they're both ready for next week's meeting at the Group of 20 summit in Argentina. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
President Trump told reporters China wants to make a deal very badly. In Beijing today, top Chinese officials weighed in on President Xi's trip. And by the way, he'll include stops in Spain, Portugal, and Panama. Vice Minister of Commerce Wang Xiaowen appeared to echo Trump's line. We noticed that the U.S. wants to reach an agreement. And Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs Wang Chao said that China hopes to meet the U.S. halfway and hopes the meeting goes smoothly. Now, while none of this sounds all that encouraging, at least they're talking. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And after long negotiations in Brussels, Theresa May has her Brexit deal with the EU. Now, can the Prime Minister get UK lawmakers to back it? Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has more from Brussels.
EU 27 leaders are expected to sign off on it, and when that takes place, it will be over to the UK Parliament to decide whether they kill the deal or they can finally seal it, and we would see Brexit take place. Now, the big question mark is whether Theresa May has the numbers to do this. If it doesn't get through, it's a nightmare scenario for the UK Prime Minister, as the entire Brexit process and the timeline to it could be called into question. Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg News, Brussels.
All right, thanks, Maria. The euro area economy grew this month at the slowest pace in almost 4 years. A composite PMI from IHS Market dropped to 52.4 in November. That's down from 53.1 last month. It suggests overall euro area growth of about 0.3% in the fourth quarter.
Crude oil is plummeting this morning. This comes as Saudi Arabia signals its output may have reached records. U.S. crude stockpiles also continue to grow. That is stoking concerns about a supply glut and sending crude oil for its seventh weekly loss. As we check prices this morning, let's start with Brent. That's down 2.6%, down $1.66 at $60.94 a barrel. West Texas, this is NYMEX crude. This is down 4.3%, down $2.38 a barrel at $52.24.
It's not just oil, John. Cryptocurrencies are slumping as well. They're headed for their worst week yet. Bitcoin is sinking toward $4,000, while the Bloomberg Galaxy Crypto Index nears a weekly decline of 25%. Checking Bitcoin now, it's down 2.8% or $125 lower to $4,301.
And in Japan, it's the end of an era for Nissan Motor. Carlos Ghosn has officially been dismissed as chairman of the automaker. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has more from Tokyo.
He's not ousted from the board yet. That has to be done by shareholders, but he has been removed as chairman, and everyone is talking about the alliance. Where does it go from here? It seems like everyone's saying the right things, that the alliance is very important, but the Ghosn era is over now. Everyone's looking forward.
That alliance, of course, is between Nissan and European automaker Renault. Reports suggest Nissan is pushing for more power in the relationship by seeking a review of the shareholding structure.
It is Black Friday here in the U.S. An estimated 164 million people plan to join the shopping frenzy that stretches through Cyber Monday, Bloomberg's Emma Chandra reports.
Macro conditions are all in retailers' favor. Household income is up as wages rise. The economy is strong and consumer confidence has been sky high. We've seen a big shift to e-commerce and within that to mobile in recent years. Adobe saying mobile phones are the most popular way to shop digitally now, accounting for 48% of visits to retail websites. One snag to all of this enthusiasm, retail investors have been down on the sector in recent days. There are concerns that this holiday season may be the peak and that it will all be downhill for retailers come 2019. In New York, I'm Emma Chandra, Bloomberg News.
All right, Emma, thanks. And as of 5 p.m. yesterday, Adobe Analytics said it had seen about $1.75 billion of online spending, an increase of almost 29% from a year ago. Adobe forecasts Thanksgiving online sales reach a record $3.7 billion. And it is now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's check in with Michael Barr, see what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It is the day retailers love, Black Friday. We've heard from analysts. Now let's hear from the people trying to catch a bargain. They have been standing in lines in front of stores since Thanksgiving. This woman pitched a tent outside a Best Buy store in Woodlands, Texas.
We do this every year. It's a holiday tradition. We're getting the kids presents. We're getting family presents.
Target CEO Brian Cornell said that the industry is enjoying possibly the strongest environment he's seen in his 37-year career. President Donald Trump said that he signed an order to close the U.S. border with Mexico, adding that he's authorized troops to use lethal force against migrants who attempt to enter the U.S. Claiming without evidence, President Trump told reporters at his Mar-a-Lago resort that at least 500 criminals are among migrants trying to enter the U.S. He also made a similar claim during a Thanksgiving call with military members.
You probably see over the news what's happening in our southern border. And our southern border territory, large numbers of people, and in many cases we have no idea who they are, and in many cases they're not good people, they're bad people, but large numbers of people are forming at our border, and I don't have to even ask you, I know what you want to do. You want to make sure that you know who we're letting in, and we're not letting in anybody.
Trump also reiterated his call for fair trade deals. Former FBI Director James Comey said he's received a subpoena from House Republicans, adding that he is eager to answer any questions as long as his testimony isn't behind closed doors. Northern California authorities say there has been more fatalities in the Camp Fire, bringing the death toll to 84. Paris, France is bracing for another round of demonstrations over a gas tax. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi has more from Paris.
Paris has seen many large demonstrations in its history, but they've usually been organized by unions or political parties and stuck to agreed routes and venues. What makes police nervous about protests planned Saturday in the capital by the anti-gasoline tax movements that have blocked much of France this week is that they lack a central organization. Police have offered protesters the Champ de Mars Park, but they fear wildcat actions will spring up all over the city. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. It was a trio of Thanksgiving football fit for a king, as all three games were not only divisional matchups, but had playoff implications. Bears and the Lions kicked off the day. Bears QB Mitchell Trubisky was out with a shoulder injury. Backup Chase Daniel more than capable, finishing with two touchdowns and a quarterback rating of 107. 23-16, the final. Bears will enjoy some downtime after winning three games in the last 12 days. Their coach, Matt Nagy.
We looked at the big picture. Three division games, and then we stepped back and we honed on into playing each game one at a time. And they finished it off today, and now they get a little bit of a breather with a little mini bye, which is nice. And they're going to enjoy that time, be smart. But that was just so much credit to those guys.
Bears have won five in a row. Cowboys-Redskins, always a classic from Big D. Dallas has turned it around since adding a go-to wide receiver.
He looks to throw. Pockets clean. Over the middle. He's got Cooper. Cooper cuts back, and there he goes. Across the 50, it's a foot race. 40, 30, 20. Will he get there? 10. He reaches out, and he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Dallas.
Cowboys 31-23. They've won three straight and are tied with the Redskins for the NFC East lead. Saints-Falcons wrapped it up from the Big Easy, the first time New Orleans has ever hosted Thanksgiving football, and the Saints showed why they're the best team in the league. Saints win going away 31-17. New Orleans is 10-1, owns the best record in football. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. And tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. Hear from the man behind the business of buying and selling NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB franchises. He's Charles Baker, co-chair of O'Melveny's Sports Industry Group. Catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or you can download the Apple Podcast on iTunes. This is Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Bloomberg. Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's check with the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, John. Shoppers are pouring into stores and jumping online for Thanksgiving weekend sales. Good or bad, Black Friday may be an early indication of what awaits the retail industry in coming months. Saudi Arabia is pumping even more oil than it produced last month. It's the strongest indication yet the country has boosted output to record levels. China aims to meet the US halfway on trade. Beijing says it hopes next week's meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi goes smoothly. And we have new details on Goldman Sachs' ties to the 1MDB scandal. The firm says Lloyd Blankfein met in 2012 with the Malaysian financier at the center of the scandal. The confirmation comes after a New York Times report that US prosecutors are examining the meeting as part of a criminal investigation of the firm. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. John?
All right, Bloomberg's Hannah George. Thanks, Hannah. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. On a morning when futures point to a lower open, S&P futures down 10, the Dow futures down 113 points, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures 28 points lower. The big story is oil, the slip in crude prices. NYMEX crude this morning down 4.3%, down $2.35 a barrel, $52.28. Brent is down 2.6%, down $1.65 a barrel, right now at $60.96. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. The Senate's bipartisan Russia probe could stretch well into the first half of 2019, despite President Trump's complaint about investigations of his campaign. According to Senate Intelligence Chairman Richard Burr, the panel could take as long as 6 months after completing all its interviews to craft and declassify a final report. The island where a 26-year-old American was killed last week
has been cut off from the world for thousands of years, with the islanders enforcing their own isolation. The remote North Sentinel Island in the Indian Ocean probably migrated with people from Africa thousands of years ago. Almost nothing is known about their lives today, from what language they speak to how many they number. In the NFL, the Redskins lost to the Cowboys. The Saints and Bears also won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:20 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined on this Black Friday by Bloomberg Intelligence Senior U.S. Retail Analyst Poonam Goyal. Happy Black Friday, Poonam, and I don't think I'm sharing too much if I tell you that on my way into work, I passed by an outlet mall, saw a fair amount of traffic, even in the early morning hours on Black Friday. How's it been looking your way?
Hi, yes, happy Black Friday. It's been busy. You know, I was out in stores yesterday, starting at 2 p.m. I was at JC Penney, and it was cold, but yeah. I still saw people wrapped around on the outside of the mall waiting for 2 p.m. for the doors to open. It took about 30 minutes for that line to clear. So people are shopping, you know, online, in store. The deals are there, and they feel like spending.
Even on Thanksgiving Day, unbelievable. I mean, is it mainly deals that are driving people in, or are consumers just feeling more confident now that they've got a little bit more cash in their pockets? How do you see it?
Sure. I mean, on Thanksgiving Day, I really think it's the deals that are driving people in. But otherwise, just in general for the holidays, I think people are more confident. Unemployment rate is low. They've been spending more all year, and that trend we expect at least should continue through the holidays.
So who's offering, I guess, the best deals? I mean, are stores sort of competing with each other to slash prices as low as they can possibly get without, going crazy?
No. You know, I think this year it's a little different. I think they are slashing prices, but all those price slashes are planned. So they're planned promotions to bring people through the door. They're not egregious. They're not raising promotions out of fear that sales aren't materializing. So all the promotions are planned, and the best deals, you know, if you ask, are really, it depends on what you're looking for. Electronics has been a big category this holiday, no surprise. So there's lots of good deals on TVs, large flat screen, ultra high definition TVs. Under $500, really, some even $300, as high as 55-inch. And then you have deals on toys. Instant Pot has been a big sell yeah. that we've been seeing. You know, every department store essentially that sells it has it as their Black Friday deal. So there's definitely lots of deals in the home space and apparel, across electronics. It's kind of all over the board.
You mentioned the cold, certainly an issue on the East Coast. Wonder if that's going to provide a boost more to Cyber Monday than Black Friday. Although I guess there are online deals on Black Friday as well, right?
There are. So the deals in stores and online have been pretty much comparable, except for like the free with rebates, where you're just essentially walking out with something for free. So I expect people to continue to shop online. And it being cold is really, it's a good thing, at least for apparel retailing, because when it's cold, you think about buying your coats, you think about buying your boots, and it helps retail sales earlier in the season, which are typically higher margin. The earlier you sell a coat, the higher margin you're likely going to sell it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, in terms of how important Black Friday on into Cyber Monday is for the retail sector, will it be enough, do you think, for investors to give retail a second look? I mean, a lot of the earnings reports we've seen of late have been disappointing to Wall Street.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Black Friday is not the largest piece of holiday. So remember that the 10 days leading up to Christmas are 40% of holiday sales. So we still have a lot of holiday sales to go after Cyber Monday. But that said, you know, a good Black Friday or Cyber Monday just reinsures the holiday, as expected, is continuing to do well. Expectations are for 4-5% same-store sales growth over the holiday season. And by just things playing out in retailers' favor, it just reinsures that. Now, in terms of, you know, optimism from investors, I think we have to look a little towards holiday and then beyond holiday into 2019 and how retail is looking for 2019, which is still questionable given, tariffs and everything else that we are hearing of heading into 2019, especially higher shipping.
Happy Black Friday. Poonam Goyal, Senior U.S. Retail Analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government fact that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by Audi. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer today for exceptional offers on select models during the Season of Audi sales event. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. European equities are climbing. U.S. futures, though, point to a weaker open. Chinese stocks led declines in Asia as oil heads for its seventh weekly loss. Bloomberg market strategist Mark Cranfield has more.
We're expecting a pretty quiet morning in Asia, but oil prices seem to have a different idea. So there's been a bit of a sell-off, particularly in WTI crude, and it's dragging the S&P 500 futures down with it. Looking at a pretty bearish situation, particularly with Chinese equities rather soft as well.
And checking WTI crude right now, it's down 4.3% or $2.38 at $52.26 a barrel.
And meanwhile, there are signs of renewed tension in the U.S.-China trade dispute. According to the Wall Street Journal, Washington is trying to persuade key allies to avoid using equipment from China's Huawei technologies.
At the same time, President Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping are indicating they're both ready for next week's meeting in Argentina. Beijing says it's been in close contact with Washington ahead of the Group of 20 summit.
And on the economic front, the euro area economy grew this month at the slowest pace in almost 4 years. A composite PMI from IHS Market dropped to 52.4 in November.
Now here in the U.S., market issues data on American manufacturing at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Manufacturing could be at a crossroads as White House tariffs inflate materials costs, global growth slows, and the boost from tax cuts fades. In October, markets manufacturing PMI showed little change after peaking in April. Earlier in the week, the government reported factory orders for durable goods dropped in October for the third time in 4 months. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. Carlos Ghosn has officially been dismissed as chairman of Nissan Motor. That's throwing the automaker's alliance with Renault into question, with reports suggesting Nissan is pushing for more power in that relationship.
Cryptocurrencies are slumping again today, with the Bloomberg Galaxy Crypto Index nearing a weekly decline of 25%. Checking Bitcoin now, it's down 3.4% at $42.75.
And as Americans head to the stores for Black Friday, Adobe Analytics says it saw about $1.75 billion of online spending as of 5 p.m. yesterday. That's an increase of almost 29% from a year ago.
All right, it's 6:32 now on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report brought to you by Cboe. The VIX fell on Wednesday to close at 2080. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 21.48. That's this morning's volatility report, as futures contracts point to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures down 9, Dow futures down 115, NASDAQ futures down 27. And it's now 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to check our latest world and national headlines. For that, we bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Today is Black Friday. Retailers are expecting consumers to spend more than they did last year. This woman in Woodlands, Texas, spent Thanksgiving standing in line outside a Best Buy.
My husband had to work this year, and so we did Thanksgiving yesterday, and we saw some good ads, and we're like, you know what? We've never done Black Friday before. Let's go shopping.
Internet sales were also busy during Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving dinner at President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club featured friends and family and a feast of turkey, as well as chilled seafood, Chilean sea bass, and braised short ribs. Earlier in the day, the president spoke by conference call with selected troops from the five military branches who are stationed overseas. The president used the conference call to weigh in on a range of political topics, including his continued criticism of the courts that halted his order to stop illegal immigrants from applying for asylum.
We're doing very well on the southern border. We're very tough. We get a lot of bad court decisions from the Ninth Circuit, which has become a big thorn in our side. We always lose, and then you lose again and again, and then you hopefully win at the Supreme Court, which we've done. But it's a terrible thing when judges take over your protective services, when they tell you how to protect your border. It's a disgrace.
Former FBI Director James Comey said he's received a subpoena from House Republicans. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Comey says he's eager to answer any questions as long as his testimony is out in the open. He tweeted, "Got a subpoena from House Republicans. I'm still happy to sit in the light and answer all questions, but I will resist a closed-door thing because I've seen enough of their selective leaking and distortion." The subpoena request is not a surprise. Last week, Bloomberg reported that along with Comey, former Attorney General Loretta Lynch would also get a subpoena. The issue is investigations into Hillary Clinton and Russian election interference. The chair of the House Judiciary Committee has said he wants Comey to appear behind closed doors November 29th. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The number of dead in Paradise, California has risen to 84 after a devastating wildfire. More than 13,000 homes were destroyed in the campfire. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Three impactful games in the NFL kicked off Week 12 on Thanksgiving. All were divisional rivalries. The Bears overcame a late deficit in Detroit thanks to their cornerstone, their defense.
Shotgun snap, Stafford back to throw, fires left side, intercepted by the Bears, and misses going back for a touchdown. Eddie Jackson picks it off and strolls into the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago. Bears back in front with 6 minutes to go. A 41-yard pick six for Jackson.
Westwood won on the call. Mitchell Trubisky sat this one out with a shoulder injury. Bears rallied for a 23-16 win, have won five straight. Cowboys played host to Colt McCoy and the Redskins and put together their most complete offensive performance of the season.
Backs up. Here comes pressure. He escapes it. Here comes more pressure. He escapes it. He takes off inside the five, and he dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Dak Prescott, the Houdini act on Thanksgiving. Unbelievable.
Westwood won. Zeke Elliott, 121 yards on the ground. Amari Cooper, 180 receiving, as the Cowboys have won three in a row. 31-23, the final. Dallas and Washington now tied atop the NFC East. The Saints, they needed a win to maintain home field advantage in the NFC. It was business as usual as they beat the Falcons 31-17. The Saints are 10-1 and sit atop the NFC. College football, the Egg Bowl turned ugly as number 18 Mississippi State throttled Ole Miss 35-3 before a brawl broke out. Four players were ejected. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan.
All right, Rob, thanks. And for golf fans, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson face off today in Las Vegas. It's a new pay-per-view format that gives AT&T an early opportunity to showcase the media operations it acquired from Time Warner. Woods and Mickelson spoke with Bloomberg about their winner-take-all $9 million match.
We're trying to showcase this event in a unique way, and if we can get a tremendous amount of viewers tuning into this event, I think that'll be a success going forward.
Now, fans will pay $20 to watch. The event will feature live mics on Woods, Mickelson, and their caddies.
You'll hear our conversations with our caddies, with each other, things that you don't ever get to hear in a normal telecast. There's no cutaways for commercials, so you're going to hear all of the talk, all of the banter throughout the entire hole.
And the match is available on DirecTV and UVerse, plus Turner's new sports streaming service, BR Live. Woods and Mickelson tee off at 3 p.m. Wall Street time. It is now 6:38 a.m. on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
France and Germany have agreed on an idea for improving Eurozone budget policy, and other governments have said they can support it. The plan falls short of what's needed, but it's progress nonetheless. The idea is for all member states to contribute to a fund that could be used to support public investment. Crucially, this could also be used to help stabilize countries in difficulty. The fund would be part of the EU's overall budget. Only countries in compliance with the Union's fiscal rules would be eligible to tap it. To be clear, it's a small step. Even so, it would be a notable and valuable innovation, offering proof that Europe can, after all, strengthen its economic governance without needing a crisis to force its hand. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 is the time now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Vegetarians, beware. Your next flight could be powered by animal byproducts. Researchers in search of renewable jet fuel are now working with a rendered form of animal fat, the byproduct of processed meats known as beef tallow, as a potential sustainable alternative to fossil fuels. It's one way that airlines are trying to cut costs and curb their emissions amid a boom in air travel that will see the number of passengers double by 2035, according to the International Air Transport Association. Another process converts chicken fat into jet fuel. With airlines accounting for 2% of annual carbon emissions, aviation's environmental impact has become a top issue for executives and regulators, spurring interest in affordable fuel substitutes. The combination of market and regulatory pressures is spurring change. As of June, more than 130,000 commercial flights were powered by biofuel, according to the IATA. Starting next year, airlines around the world will track and report emissions to regulators. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Red on the screen ahead of the open of a holiday shortened trading session on Wall Street. S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down by 129, and NASDAQ futures down 32 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers during the Season of Adventure sales event now through January 2nd.
Bloomberg Surveillance. Full news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the newsroom. It's Bloomberg Business Flash this the morning when we have an abbreviated trading day. And the futures right now in the U.S. pointing to a lower open. The S&P futures down 12 points, the Dow futures down 136 points. That's a decline of 0.6%. The NASDAQ evening futures 32 points lower. That's down 0.5%. Big story this morning, the falling energy prices. They're just one of several indicators that concern investors about the possible strength of the global economy. Looks like there's a supply glut. NYMEX crude right now 4.3% lower this morning. That is down $2.35 a barrel at $52.28. And Brent, this is the international benchmark for crude, it is down about 2.5% right now, down $1.54 a barrel at $61.06. Again, the contracts in the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ all pointing lower. Markets set to reopen, of course, after yesterday's holiday. And Chinese equities, they led regional declines in Asia. The technology sector, that continued to be weak. I'm concerned that the U.S. is ratcheting up a campaign against Huawei Technologies. And meanwhile, banks and technology companies leading gains in the Stoxx 600 index in Europe. The dollar is climbing this morning. The euro, that's reversed earlier gains. We had data that showed Germany's growth outlook weakened. And sterling handing back some of Thursday's gains after Spain said it may vote against the Brexit plan. We have cable this morning, 128.22, down about 0.4%. The euro, 113.49. 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.04%. The 2-year, 2.81%. And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Donald Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping have indicated they're both ready for a highly anticipated meeting at the Group of 20 summit in Argentina next week. President Trump told reporters that China wants to make a deal, quote, very badly after his administration placed tariffs on about $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. Thanksgiving dinner at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club featured friends and family and feast, including turkey and braised short ribs.
President Trump also called military members overseas and offered them his holiday greetings, as well as an array of grievances about the courts, trade, and migrants. In sports, in the Thanksgiving buffet of NFL games, the Redskins lost to the Cowboys 31-23. The Saints marched all over the Falcons 31-17. The Bears down the Lions 23-16. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, a new technology can zap abdominal and glute muscles to the tune of thousands of crunches and squats in one session. The FDA-approved machine can be uncomfortable, but it's not painful, but there is a little soreness afterward. Nathan, plastic surgeon Ryan Neinstein, says clients see results after four visits in 2 weeks to the tune of $3,000.
You know, that is news you can use the day after Thanksgiving. We loaded up on, like, what, 4,000 calories per person on all the turkey and stuffing and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, my beer belly. It's not the it's not the big sexy, let's put it that way. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Just skip lunch today, Michael. Thanks for that. 6:50 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and we are joined on this morning after Thanksgiving by Michael Hewson. He's the chief market analyst at CMC Markets. Well, so much for a quiet day after the holiday session. The price of oil is certainly getting a lot of attention this morning, Michael, especially West Texas Intermediate right now down 4.3%. Is this just driven on oversupply?
I think it is, yes, but I think there's also an element of concerns about economic slowdown. I think earlier this year, I think people were sort of suggesting that fears of a growth slowdown were slightly overstated. That appears now to be becoming more mainstream in terms of the data, particularly here in Europe that we've been seeing, but also I think the increased friction between China and the US is also weighing on risk appetite. That being said, it's been a fairly lackluster session here in Europe today. We're modestly higher, but not too much. It's still likely to be a negative week, and we are approaching some very key support levels, not only on WTI, which is sitting right on its 200-day moving average right now, down 7 weeks in a row, but Brent has also hit its lowest levels this year. For the Brent contract. So that's good news for drivers, probably not so good for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, not so much for investors, perhaps. Yeah. What do you see needing to be done to sort of stabilize the oil market here? As you mentioned, we're heading toward a seventh straight week of losses here.
Yeah, I think at some point, maybe next week, we'll start to hear noises from OPEC about a potential production cut. Now, whether or not that will help put a floor under it, I don't think Saudi Arabia really want to see crude oil prices below $60 a barrel. We're right on it. And I think if we do slip below $60 a barrel, I think you'll start to hear an awful lot more jawboning about maybe a $1.5 million barrel a day cut in output. But that still won't actually clear the oversupply problem against a backdrop of a weakening European economy, where we've seen manufacturing PMIs in France hit a two-year low.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about some of the numbers we did get this morning from IHS Market, not just France, but Germany coming in with a slower-than-expected manufacturing print. What does that say about the future of the Eurozone?
Well, it says that ultimately the ECB may not be able to raise rates as it's been trying to guide the markets to think that it will do next year. There's still an awful lot of concern, Nathan, about what's going on in Italy with the politics there. But also, if you actually look at the direction of the economic the data this year and the PMIs, they've been slowly declining for pretty much the last 9 to 10 months. And I think it's really on the back of the fact that ultimately, while we saw a really decent boost in 2017, the asset purchase program's coming to an end. I looked at this morning's German GDP numbers, and obviously they were a confirmation of a contraction in Q3, but the private consumption numbers were awful, minus 0.3. And I think that really does suggest that it's going to be very, very difficult for the ECB to reinstill confidence in an economy that is still struggling.
And when you have the political implications, the strife between the Eurozone and Italy going on, and Brexit negotiations underway as well, do those add further headwinds?
They do, because ultimately there are concerns about the banking sector in Europe. None of those problems have been addressed, and obviously what you're seeing with respect to Italian banks in particular, there are concerns about overall banking exposure across the Eurozone. You've only got to look at the share price of Deutsche Bank, which is obviously Germany's biggest bank. It's at multi-year lows. And when you have a crisis of confidence, banks don't generally feel incentivized to lend money, and if they don't lend money, then obviously firms can't invest because they're reluctant to reinvest their profits against a very difficult trade backdrop. So the trade question remains unanswered. Concerns about politics, Brexit, you've touched upon it, absolutely. There is a possibility we could get an agreement at the EU summit over the weekend. But ultimately, with all of these factors coming together, coming to year end, as we are, if you haven't made your money by now, you're not going to take fresh investment decisions going into December.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's so much uncertainty just heading into the new week with the negotiations between May and Juncker happening this weekend, mm-hmm. and the G20 summit encounter between Trump and Xi. I mean, how do investors sort of look ahead into December to decide where to put their money?
I think what's going to happen is if we continue to see declines or weakness in equity markets, more and more people will start to put their money into cash and basically write the rest of December off and look for 2017. Because I think unless Donald Trump, President Trump and President Xi come to any sort of accommodation, I think it's going to be very difficult to take an informed view. You've got those tariffs that are due to increase from January. Now, I think progress on this particular point would be if the two presidents agree to defer the increase. I don't think you'll see the tariffs taken off, but if they're left at 10%, the market could perceive that there's some progress there. And I think that's really the only light that I can see in terms of the trade relations going forward, given obviously this morning's news about Huawei.
And with our less than a minute left here, we get U.S. Manufacturing data at 9:45 Wall Street time. Could that provide something of a contrast to the rest of the world?
It's continued to be a contrast. That's one of the things about the U.S. economy. I think it's diverged pretty much from the rest of the world. But one thing I did note recently was those comments from Richard Clarida, which suggested that the Fed may be closer to its neutral rate than the markets had been originally pricing in. Now, are they concerned about a slowdown? Or are they actually? Do they actually think that the inflation outlook is probably not as strong as it could be? And as a result, that could actually suggest that maybe the US economy could actually slow into the first quarter of next year, in which case we may not get more than one or two rate hikes next year.
All right, we'll have to leave it there for now. Thank you so much for joining us on this Black Friday. Michael Hewson is the Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. John.
And Nate, this on a morning when futures for this abbreviated trading session point to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures down 12 points. That's down 0.5%. The Dow futures are lower by 146 points. That's down 0.6. And NASDAQ E-mini futures 36 points lower, down 0.6. You mentioned crude. The slide continues. NYMEX crude down 4.3%. Down $2.36 at $52.27. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with John Farrow and Tom King. Don't miss it.